You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Monday the 28th of October. We're going to be in the afternoon once again at Galway and at Wexford over in Ireland, and the Ayr in the UK as well, and in the evening at Kempton. We did have a scheduled meeting at Leicester. That's unfortunately been abandoned, the latest victim of a group of fixtures we've had abandoned over the last few days because of the weather. Hopefully it might be the last one now, but still four meetings to bring you over the course of the afternoon anyway. Live on Racing Radio starts at 12:30 here on the podcast. My name is John Gibby. Paddy Aspall joins me now. Hello, Paddy. How are you?
How are you doing, John?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Good to have you with us at the end of what's been an enjoyable weekend of racing. Of course, we had the return of Cheltenham Friday, Saturday, and the return of Aintree today. So the big course is really coming back into the equation.
Yeah, certainly. It was just a relief, really, that Cheltenham got through the day yesterday. Conditions were quite wet, but in fairness, I thought they made the right decision and carried on, and we did see some good racing, and just great to have it back, really. And conditions a bit better at Aintree today, albeit disappointing that the sun decided to pop its head out for the big race. Unfortunately, I think the winner probably won't get the credit he deserves because of that, because, you know, obviously Frodon jumping is his biggest asset. But I've got to say, the jumps that were included today, he wasn't at his best. You know, he was wanting to go and pop more today than be as scopey as what he normally is. Whether that's to do with the slower conditions, I don't really know. But yeah, the fact that the sun did decide to pop its head out did take away from the race a little bit.
Well, we'll talk about the old Roan Chase in a little bit more detail very shortly indeed. In fact, before we do that, let's listen back to what happened in the closing stages.
There are three in a line with a quarter mile to go. Frodon is plucky in the centre, but Kalashnikov has just headed him, and Forrestbeer now makes his challenge. He might be a bit short of daylight on the inner as they race around what would have been the final fence, and Forrestbeer goes on now from Kalashnikov. Frodon has been left behind, and Forrestbeer showing the superior turn of foot on this long run in, and he begins to clear away, and it's Forrestbeer for Brian Hughes and Brian Ellison who wins the Monet's Garden Old Roan.
So Forrest Behan, as Paddy alluded to, won the old Roan Chase, beat Kalashnikov in second, Frodon back in third, and it was in the end Forrest Behan, who was one of two horses who was quite well backed in the race, alongside Flying Angel Paddy, who's come out and won, despite the fact people had kind of queued it up to be a bit of a match race between Kalashnikov and Frodon, but it wasn't to be in the end.
No, I think probably the fences being out will have suited Kalashnikov a bit more, because I've never been entirely convinced about him jumping fences. I'm not saying he's a bad jumper, but he's not a complete natural.
It wasn't great at the beginning of the race today, was it?
No, you know, he's a big lad. He's got to work hard, and he does make an effort, but it's just physically hard work for him. But, you know, when the fences were out up the straight, I'm sure that Amy Murphy was far happier than what Paul Nicholls was. But he's run well. But Forrest Behan, lovely, beautiful ride by Brian Hughes. He went down the inside, actually took a bit of a chance, but, you know, he knew he had plenty of horse underneath him, so he wasn't going to get out-muscled, although they were a bit tight for room going to the last by Kalashnikov, because he knew he had plenty of horse to hold his ground. Very confident ride. And once they got round the wings of the last, he never actually picked his stick up. He was just pushed out, and he's run right away, and, you know, he's beat Kalashnikov by over two lengths, and, you know, Frodon was a fair old distance, back to, you know, 12 lengths back to third. So, but look, Frodon at 11:10, Kalashnikov was getting a stone from him, and Forrest Behan at 10:04. So a lovely, lovely race and waiting. Forrest Behan, he was a real eye catcher at Kelso on his reappearance, because he travelled round sweet as a nut, and he did just get tired. Conditions were pretty deep that day, and it was a pretty grueling race, so he was always going to improve, but he had to, you know. I mean, because he never actually managed to win last year, Forrest Behan, although he did run some real good races. But that was much more like it today, and the Brian Ellison team are in real good order right now.
You mentioned the way Froedbeaan travels through his races. That was kind of what it was like today as well, with Frodon turning for home, pushed along by Briony Frost. You saw Kalashnikov come at the near side cruising, and you thought, okay, this might be over. Then suddenly Froedbeaan travelling just as well, if not better, over on the far side.
Yeah, and that's why I say Brian was confident enough to go down the inside, because he will have been able to see up ahead of him that they were going to be tight for room, because where them national fences are and the outside wings of the chase fences, there isn't a whole lot of racing room. But if you've got the horse and the engine underneath you, you can take them risks and go into them gaps, because your horse will get you out of trouble. And he knew what he had. It was a very, 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 very clever ride, and that was what I would say a career best in Froedbeaan, and he looked real right back to his best.
He's received £6 from Kalashnikov on this occasion. Obviously it's a limited handicap, the old round. In your opinion, is that enough to show that Froedbeaan, he's won a Grade 2 on this occasion, could be mixing it in the conversation for winning Grade 1s this season?
He could well be, but we've got to remember as well that, I'd say even before we do get them, you'll know the quote from Paul Nicholls is that today wasn't the be-all and end-all. And yeah, it'll be the same for Amy Murphy with Kalashnikov. You know, there's going to be bigger fish to fry further down the year. So today, yeah, would have been nice. But Frodon, he's much higher up the handicap this time. It was easier ground. Briony doesn't claim this time around. So things were stacked against him, to be fair. And I just don't think he ran along with his usual zest today. So, look, he didn't do an awful lot wrong. He was still there in the hunt going to the last. But they are going around the wings of the last. But they did leave him behind pretty quickly. But like I said, he was having to shed loads of weight. And when you watch the head-on, the difference in size, obviously Kalashnikov is a giant, isn't he? But even Froedbeaan was bigger than Frodon. You know, Frodon just looked a little bit like he was pinned to the floor with 11 stone 10 on his back. So I don't think he has been disgraced at all. But, you know, he has just got a little bit tired on the day, but certainly didn't do, it won't have done him any harm.
We saw lots of other great racing on the card at Aintree today, and one performance that was particularly notable, I thought, Paddy, was Burton's Well in the Veterans Chase, returning off a really long layoff, a great training performance by Venetia Williams to get this one ready as he wins on his reappearance.
Yeah, hadn't been seen since New Year's Day last year, and that was his only run. Only had three runs in 2017 as well, so he's obviously quite delicate, isn't he? Talented, but he's delicate, there's no doubt about it. I mean, today was only his 10th start, all told, and I mean, Burton's Well, he is a 10-year-old, so he's obviously, he's had his issues, the poor old lad, but he's got plenty of ability. I mean, when we last seen him, he was running off a mark of 140, so the handicapper has given him a chance on the back of that absence and actually dropped him £7. And the money did come this morning. He was quite popular. I thought got an absolutely peach of a ride from Charlie Deutsch, because, you know, he took his time, and even it's such a long run from the back of the ditch, the second last, on the run down to the last at Aintree. It really is a long way, and horses, because the track is so wide there, horses take their eye off the ball, and they can really just start to dust a little bit. So he's waited as long as he possibly could. He probably would have liked a lead even further by Kilaro Boy, but he wasn't able to take him any further. But a lovely ride, and he was well on top in the end. And but I suppose the biggest fear now for Venetia is to walk into his box in the morning and see how he is, because, like I say, he's obviously delicate but plenty of ability. And it was a nice winner for Trevor Hemmings, who had a double on the day.
Obviously, a veteran's chase that he's running today, but you look at his form profile and you think, how on earth is this horse running in a veteran's chase? He's only had 10 starts under rules, including this one today.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I say, he's got his issues. He's obviously delicate, but he's very talented, so he's worth persisting with. And great bit of training by Venetia, and it's just great to see Venetia back amongst the winners again, because very, very capable trainer. And as we all know, especially when the mud is flying, for some reason her horse is really seem to excel.
Well, that was Aintree on Sunday. Now we're going to turn our attention and look ahead to Monday. As I mentioned, Galway and Wexford were over racing at Kempton in the evening as well. But Paddy, for your two selections here on the podcast, I believe they both run at Ayr.
Yeah, I've gone to Ayr tomorrow, and I was quite surprised by the predicted ground, because I honestly thought that Ayr would be pretty deep tomorrow. But as it turns out, I did see a bit of good earlier on in the going description, but they're just giving it now straight soft. But I'm sure the guys would take that But yeah, in the 135, there was plenty of runners on show here, but I like the look of Lucinda Russell's Order of Thistle. It really probably isn't bred to be going around air in October, this boy, by High Chaparral out of a catcher in the Rye Mare, but he was quite an expensive yearling. But nonetheless, he's gone down a different route, and having made a good debut effort last February at Kelso, he backed that up at Sedgefield at the beginning of the month and got the job done in what was only a run-of-the-mill bumper. But I just really liked the way he ran across the line. He was coming home very, very nicely, having hit a brief flat spot. Blair Campbell is back on board tomorrow. Obviously, he is jumping an obstacle in public for the first time. But nonetheless, Lucinda String are in real good nick at the minute. So I wouldn't have any worries there. And he certainly looks quite progressive, this chap. And if negotiating 8 flights of hurdles tomorrow and get from A to B, I think Order of Thistle is probably one to follow for the upcoming season.
Order of Thistle, a hurdling newcomer in the 135 at Ayr, and your other pick, I believe, that runs in the very next race.
Yeah, I've gone for a yard who had a winner yesterday and brought another horse back after a mammoth layoff in James Ewart. So Attila de Savola tomorrow is another one who fits that bill. Same comment applies, probably the same with him with Venetia's horse. Probably quite talented, but not that easy to train, although this chap, he's got quite younger legs. He is only a 5-year-old, but he has only been seen in public 4 times. Nonetheless, of them 4 times, 2 wins, a second and a third. So he's got plenty of ability, but we haven't seen him since March when he ran particularly well at Haydock, albeit in defeat. Certainly wasn't disgraced behind Destined to Shine of Kerry Lees in a handicap hurdle. Had plenty of weight to carry that day, 11 stone 12. But didn't do an awful lot wrong. So we've not seen him since. Jumps a fence in public for the first time tomorrow. James Ewart has given him a wind up. Nick Schofield is on board. I just thought the horse down the bottom was the danger, but he's yet to win a race, Chateau Robin. But a good effort last time, and a horse who finished in behind that day has gone to win since, and actually could have won a couple of times. So that form has taken a boost, but just the fact that he's yet to win a race, that was my only little worry about him. So I was happier to go with Attila de Savola, because James Ewart has showed us that he's very, very capable of readying one after a layoff.
And to the Savola in the 210 there, then the second selection for Paddy. You can hear all those races live on Racing Radio on Monday. Also in the studio will be Ollie Pimlott and Lord John Budden as well. So we look forward to that. And of course, racing getting underway a little bit earlier because the clocks have changed, but the time the races are sort of hasn't changed relative to the clocks, if you see what I mean. So it's in other words, a 12:30 start on Racing Radio. Join us then. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the podcast. And Paddy, thanks for being with us today.
No worries. Thanks, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.